For those who may be visiting, we're in the beginning of a brief series talking about the priorities of prayer. And I anticipate that some of the things we'll be talking about is, like today we're talking about, you know, top 10 keys to answered prayer. I'll be talking about fasting and praying, prayer and healing, praying for people, and praying for circumstances. And I may actually commingle a couple of those subjects. But Karen and I, as I mentioned, we've been reading just a tremendous book on prayer, and I have been impressed that church is not going to rise any higher than our prayer life. And one of the most important keys to revival in our lives individually, with our people, is going to have to do with our relationship with the Lord and with prayer. So today, we're going to be dealing with the top 10 keys to answered prayer. It's not a comprehensive list, and even these tips on answered prayer are not necessarily in the perfect order. I am going to try and finish with the most important of the top 10. But I remember hearing about a college professor that was having an exam for his students, a very important exam. Their whole grade, pass or fail, could hinge on their score on this particular exam. And it was a more senior college program, and after they finished a test and they were bringing their tests forward in the testing room, the professor said, "Now you're all required to sign an affidavit that you receive no outside help in answering the questions on this test." I don't know, it must have been maybe in the medical field or something, and they couldn't cheat, it was really serious. Well, there's one very scrupulous Christian student thought, "I'm not sure if I can sign that because I've been asking God to help me all through my studies and all through the test." And the professor saw that he was hesitating there about signing the affidavit, and he finally confided in the professor after the other students left. He said, "You know, I want to be honest, and I've been asking for help. I've been asking God for help. As I studied and all through the test, I was talking to him." Professor thought for a moment. He said, "Do you mind if I take a look at your test papers?" Said, "No." He handed him the papers, and he looked on the front, and he looked second, third page. He said, "Young man," he said, "I think I can assure you, you can sign the affidavit with a clear conscience. Nobody helped you with this test." Have you ever felt like your prayers aren't being answered? And you're wondering, well, it's just maybe God isn't there, and he doesn't answer prayer, or he doesn't answer my prayers, or I'm not important enough, or the hall to reach him is so long that I just never quite get there, or he's so far away, the volume is too low, or I don't know how you picture it in your mind, but there's a lot of people that do not pray to God expecting answers. Sometimes we just think he's just so busy. He's got the universe to maintain. How important can my little prayer be? And we wonder if prayer works, and we wonder if it works, how do you make this thing work? It's like a story of World War I. You know, it was largely a war fought in foxholes. And as bombs were going off, they would kind of run a little bit and jump into the next foxhole. And just the terror of it all overwhelmed one soldier, and he jumped into a foxhole with another friend that he hadn't seen in a while. He noticed that he had a cross around his neck, and he reached out for his friend's cross. He said, "Can you tell me how to make this thing work?" And people sometimes wonder, how do you make the religious thing work? How does prayer work? Well, you know, the Bible actually gives a number of very basic but practical tips or keys for answered prayer. Now, God, sometimes we think, well, you know, God can't answer every prayer. We might be praying for the wrong thing. I suspect that if we follow the outlines that God gives us, we'd probably see 90% more of our prayers answered. It's just we're approaching it wrong in many ways. Now, I'm going to go through the list. And again, I said it's not an exhaustive list, but these are some of the top things that you need to know if you want your prayers answered. Number one, pray to God. You might think, well, Pastor Doug, that would be obvious. Well, there are a lot of different other gods out there and other religions. You notice when the storm was happening in the days of Jonah, it says all the sailors were praying to their gods. It didn't help. But from the belly's whale, Jonah prayed to his God. tells us Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Jesus said, in this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven. So begin with knowing who it is you're talking to. You're talking to the Father of Jesus, who so loved you that he gave his Son that you may not perish. And he so loved you, he gave his Son that when you pray in his name through Christ and in Christ, he wants to give you those things. So remember who you're talking to, someone who is intensely interested in answering your prayers. So very simple. Step one, pray to God. You don't have to know everything about prayer to have your prayers answered. I don't want this to sound like it's complicated science. I can assure you, I don't know everything about electricity, but I sure enjoy the light. And it's that same principle in prayer. You can experience answers to prayer by practicing and knowing something about the basics. Now here's a point, point number two, that I don't hear people say very much about, but the Bible says a lot about it. When you pray, pray in the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a few verses. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Here's another one, Jude 20. There's only one chapter in Jude. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be thinking, well, Pastor Doug, how is it exactly that I pray in the Spirit? Is it like there's a special sheet I'm supposed to wrap myself in when I pray? Yeah, but it's not a literal sheet. It's God the Spirit. It's being in the mind of God. You know, one way you cannot pray in the Spirit, let me put it to you that way first, it might be easier to understand, is if you are clinging to unforgiveness in your heart, that's how to pray out of the Spirit. If you feel bitterness towards another person, that's not praying in the Spirit. For example, if you're fighting like cats and dogs with your spouse, 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Hindered relationships can hinder prayer. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have your prayers answered till everybody loves you. It means you ought to do everything in your part to act like a Christian with everybody around you, to forgive as Christ forgave. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit, to be obeying what Jesus said in relationship to our relationships. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we don't need know what we should pray for as we ought to. You know, if God looked down from heaven and said, here's what I think you really ought to be praying about, we might see his list of what our prayer should be would be very different from our list. And so we don't even know what to pray for. So praying in the Spirit means a humility, a submission of saying, Lord, I know there's needs I have that I can't express. Romans puts it this way. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Have you ever been on your knees and you just know you were yearning after God and you couldn't find the words to articulate what you needed? And the Spirit can make your prayers eloquent before God. So you're praying in the Spirit. You're not only praying in the Spirit, you're praying in faith. Believing is one of the other very important criteria to having your prayers answered. Now, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Look how often people came to Jesus and he worked a miracle and then he said, your faith has made you whole. One time a father came to Jesus. His son was harassed by a demon that sometimes cast him in the water, sometimes cast him in the fire. The disciples tried to cast the devil out and they could not. So he brought him to Jesus. He said, Lord, if you can do anything. And Jesus understood that the man at least was taking the step of bringing his request to Jesus, but then he messed it all up by saying if. And Jesus needed to correct him. He said, if you believe, all things are possible. And he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So that's good news. That means when you get on your knees to pray, even if you struggle with belief, you can still pray. Tell the Lord, say, Lord, I believe and I am asking, but I must admit I struggle with unbelief. Pray, believing. Faith is so important. Let me give you a few more verses. And these are promises. Jesus said, Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now that just sounds like a dictionary definition. That's pretty basic. James 1:6, when you pray and ask for wisdom, let him ask in faith, no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. You know, the devil's got all these doubts blowing you around. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Why are you praying if you don't think that God is there? If you believe he's there and you believe he's God, he's big, then pray and believe that he can do big things. If you know what I think we're afraid of? Karen and I were talking about this last night about prayer. Now, the battery's good. I think I just walked through a dead spot. So we were... Make sure it's not the aluminum foil in my suit. It's doing that. Okay. So we were talking last night, and we said, you know, praying in faith, we're always afraid that we might ask something big, and then it doesn't happen, and it might hurt our faith, so we're almost afraid to ask. If you're going to take a risk when it comes to praying in faith, you got two choices. You can say, I'm not going to have enough faith, and I'm going to pray small prayers because I'm afraid they won't be answered. Or take the risk that you might not get the answer that you want, but believe that you will. You're better off praying for big things and giving God an opportunity to do something remarkable. We were in Majuro. We were in the Marshall Islands a few weeks ago. And captain of a boat there, Captain Randy, sails a mission boat around. He's also an airline pilot. He had his phone, a lot of very important information, GPS readings, locations, and things on his phone, and he lost his phone. And we walked out of the mission compound, and he was kicking through the grass, trying to find, he thought maybe it fell out of his pocket when he got out of the car. And I wanted to stop right there and say, let's pray right now that you find your phone. And I thought, well, he looks upset, and we were on our way somewhere, and I didn't say it. But I believed that God could answer that prayer, but I thought, you know, I'm in a hurry, and what if I do pray? I said, let's pray, and you find your phone. What if he doesn't find his phone? And he had tried everything, and nothing had happened. And I had that opportunity, and I didn't. See, I'd love to tell you, I always did what I'm supposed to do. But Karen and I prayed he'd find his phone, but we didn't do it with him. And then we got word a day or two later, he found his phone in that very place. Some kids were digging around in the grass and they found his phone. He was praising the Lord. And I thought, I wish I had said, let me pray with you. And then when the prayer is answered, it's like, wow, what a miracle. We had given up. He had already gotten another phone. How many times I think we've lost opportunity for God to work a miracle because we didn't pray big enough. We didn't believe big enough. So take the risk and pray in faith. Jesus tells us to. So you say, look, if you don't answer the prayer, Lord, that's your problem. You promise, and I'm going on your word. Right? Let me give you some more verses on that. Jesus speaking again here, Matthew 21:22. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, can a third grader understand that? But those of us who don't have childlike faith are thinking, oh, I can't really mean that. There's too many caveats. What's the fine print? You know, if we're keeping the other criteria, he tells us, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive. Now, that means assuming we're praying, following the other basics of prayer we're going to get to. Matthew 9:27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. When he came into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. He touched their eyes, according to your faith, let it be to you, and their eyes were open. What if they had said, no, Lord? We're coming asking, but we really have our doubts. He asked, do you believe? They said, yes. He said, okay. In fact, one man, he said, Lord, can you heal my servant, this Roman centurion? And Jesus was on his way to his house, and he said, you don't even need to come. I believe you can speak the word. Jesus said, because you believe, I will. I mean, all through the Bible, God goes the second mile if we believe. You can't name for me a time in the Bible when someone prayed a big prayer and God said, oh, you're getting carried away. I can't do that. What do you think I am, God? I mean, of course, all things are possible with God. So when you pray, trust that God is going to answer your prayer. If for some reason you don't get the answer you thought, trust that he's still going to answer, but he's going to answer the best way. Amen? Now, the fourth point I have here is pray for practical priorities. We're talking about priorities of prayer. And in your prayers, you want to be praying for things that are the basics. For instance, in James 4, verse 3, he said, "You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your pleasure." So I remember I used to always tell my brother, "You know, Falcon, you need to pray, and you know, there's a God," and he kind of made fun of my prayers. But he called me one day, he said, "Doug, I want you to pray." I was so excited. He said, "Yeah, Super Bowl's coming up and I've got money on the Dolphins. Can you please pray?" I wasn't sure what I thought. "Oh, you know, Falcon, I'd like for you to, you know, if it means you turn to God because the Dolphins win the Super Bowl, so that's wonderful." But, you know, I just kind of felt like that in the scheme of things, that wasn't really where God wanted to start with my brother, that he'd win his bet. I mean, that, it's not that God doesn't care about little things, does he? But he wants us to ask for practical things. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?" Now, those are priorities, aren't they? They're necessities of life. Sometimes we forget to pray for the necessities. We pray, "Lord, you know, I hope I can get a car that's got a real good air conditioner." We don't say, "Lord, save me so I don't get hot in hell." Now, that would be a priority. If you're not saved and you're praying for an air conditioner, that's not a priority. Now, if you are saved, you can then pray for the air conditioner. Get them in order. You see what I'm saying? So make sure that you've got the priorities right. He said, "After all these things the Gentiles seek, you seek first the kingdom of God." Now, food and clothes and those things are important. But he said, first of all, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, we have prayer meeting during the week, and this is a good time, if you've not done it, if you have time, to come together when we have our prayer and our Bible study. It's a Bible study, but we pray together. We share prayer requests. But I've noticed that, and now I'm going to make our prayer study group feel a little self-conscious, 99% of the prayers I hear are for things or for people's healing. I very rarely hear a prayer for someone's salvation. Wouldn't that be the most important thing to pray about? It's kind of like that guy that is in jail, and he's praying, and he's saying, "Lord, could you please give me a softer mattress? This bed is so hard. Lord, could you have the guards give me a warmer blanket? Lord, it'd be wonderful if I had a little carpet under my feet. Lord, if the food could just be a little better." And the Lord's up there going, "You don't want me to get you out of jail? Why don't you pray I get you out of jail?" We're asking God to make us comfortable in our jail. And a lot of people pray that way. They don't plan on being saved, but they want to enjoy life in the meantime. Most important thing is to pray the priorities of salvation. Now, don't misunderstand. Does God care about little things? God, you know, I'll go to a store and I'll pray about, you know, toothpaste. I don't know if that particular, but it'll give you an idea. I mean, how many of you prayed about a parking place before, right? Or that they won't raise the price on gas just before you pull in. God does answer prayer. But we need to pray for some of the practical things. I heard a story about three guys, John and Dave and Bill, and they were hiking cross country and they came to this raging wide river. And John was the first. He had faith. He said, "Lord, give me strong arms and strong legs so I can swim across this river." And poof, all of a sudden his arms got buff and his legs got thick and he swam. And it took him 2 hours and he nearly drowned twice, but he finally, huffing and puffing, got across the river. And Bill saw that and he said, "Lord, give me strong arms, strong legs, and the right equipment to get across the river." Then he had a boat and he rowed and he rowed, and it only took him an hour. He nearly capsized and died twice, but he got across the river. And then finally, Dave, he said, "Lord, I want the strength, I want the equipment, I want the intelligence to get across the river." So God turned him into a woman for 20 minutes. who asked someone for directions. It pointed him to the bridge, 100 yards up, walk across the river. It's what you call a practical prayer. I always do that to get reelected by the ladies. It's something like... Now, when you're praying practical prayers, practical also means if you ask anything according to his will. You already know you're not supposed to pray for things that are outside of the Ten Commandments. You know, you don't pray that you can... Oh, no, I won't use that example. Anyway, John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, when it says in the Bible he hears us, what does that mean? God hears everything. It means he will answer. Another example, Colossians 1:9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, what's the rest? Thy will be done. So praying practical prayers, part and parcel of that is praying in the will of God. Now, this is where people get hung up. You know, I've got it here on point 5, but it's a very important key to answered prayer: turn from known sin. Yes, there is a connection between God answering your list of prayers and your degree of surrender to him. God will always hear the prayer of a repentant sinner. So don't think that God is saying, I'm too sinful to pray for mercy. He's always going to hear that prayer. We're talking about the generic prayers that we pray. If you want your prayers to be fervent and effectual with God, the Bible says the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man avails much. I'll give you a few more verses. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If you're clinging to sin in your heart, we all struggle with sin, but you ought to be shunning it. You ought to be praying for victory over it. You ought to be striving against it. But if you have settled down with your sin and you're asking God to answer your prayers, let me give you some more verses. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Now, some people think, well, that's legalistic. Well, you take it up with Solomon. That's what he says. He's far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Let me give you a New Testament verse. 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has given us commandment. Whatever we ask, we receive, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing. If you're a Christian, you've got a powerful Christian God that wants to answer your prayers. He wants your prayers to be more effective than anybody else's prayers, because you're his child, assuming you're his child. So if you've turned to Christ and you've repented of your sins and you've asked, and you're asking for the Holy Spirit, and you're coming to him. You know, when I first came to the Lord, having been, you know, just really a pagan and then involved in a lot of Eastern religions, the Lord answered so many incredible prayers for me. I think he almost went the second mile to strengthen my faith, because I was a baby Christian and I needed some encouragement. You ever seen that when someone's a new Christian, the Lord's doing all these things for them, and you think, how come I don't see that all the time? It's because you're more mature. You may not need it as much. But he was answering the most outrageous prayers for me that just blew me away, to prove there has to be a God, because this can't be a coincidence. So much of the world, something like that happens, they say, oh, it's just a coincidence. But when you have too many coincidences line up, then you say, that can't be a coincidence. That's got to be God. And these things still happen. I was hungry. I went to Chipotle this week. I didn't have any money, but I had a gift card. And while I'm standing in line, the register broke. And they said, you know, we can't get this fixed. That's free today. I said, thank you, Jesus. I mean, and I hadn't even asked. But he says, I will give you this day your daily burrito. It's something like that. I know that's a loose translation of that. So you turn from known sin, which is, of course, a serious matter. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, pray in his name. I know I touched on this at the end of last week's message, but I want to say a word about that. Praying in the name of the Lord, well, it's really an endorsement. It's very much like you take a check to the bank, and you've got a check from Microsoft Corporation to the bank for $1 million, and you hand them the check, and they say, we can't cash that. I say, why not? They say, it's not signed. Oh, then you got to go back to Bill Gates and get the signature. If you get that signature and you take it to the bank, it's worth $1 million. But saying in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer, I know we always treat it kind of like it's the stamp, it's sort of the period at the end of your prayer, but it's really much more than that. In the book Steps to Christ, there's a great quote, page 100. To pray in the name of Jesus is more than the mere mention of that name at the beginning and ending of a prayer. It's to pray in the mind and the spirit of Jesus while believing his promises, while relying on his grace and his works. John 15:16, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Are you friends with Jesus? It goes a long way if you know people in high places. Have you discovered that? John 16:23, it's called name dropping. They do it a lot in Hollywood, trying to get jobs, you know. I know this person, I know that person. It does make a difference in heaven when you know Jesus. John 16:23, most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. You know, it's said that during Lincoln's presidency, while the Civil War was going on, the youngest of the Lincoln children, they lost two, was Tad Lincoln. And Tad was, he was pretty precocious, and he was, you know, running all through the White House and bringing in strange animals and all kinds of things. But it was noted by several historians that it didn't matter what the president was doing. He might be in a war cabinet room with his generals somewhere in the White House. Tad would come barging in. The guards would never stop him because Lincoln had told them, if he ever wants me, they had lost a child, which made him especially sensitive to the youngest. And he said, if he ever wants me, you let him in. And God's love for you is the same when you're coming in the name of Jesus. He looks upon you as having the righteousness. You have unlimited access to God. Do you ever need an appointment to talk to Jesus? Or talk to the Father in his name? Or can anyone come at any time? In fact, we told you last week, you should be there all the time. Praying without ceasing. You could always talk to him. If the President of the United States will stop a war to talk to his son, will God do less to talk to us? And when you pray in the mind of Christ, praying in Jesus' name means praying like you have the spirit and mind of Jesus. It means praying with humility in your prayers. We don't want to be like the publican who stands and prays thus with himself. But the Bible says the Pharisee. The Bible says the publican stood afar off and he smote on his breast, said, Lord, have mercy on me. He humbled himself. Was his prayer answered? He went down forgiven. Jesus said, actually it's in Chronicles, Solomon said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. We can't come to the Lord with an arrogant attitude because arrogance is the spirit of Satan. Pride is the spirit of Satan. Come with the mind and the spirit of Jesus. Come in humility, realizing you don't deserve anything. You don't have another breath without God. And when you come in that spirit, it makes a difference. James 4:6, notice this. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I remember reading where George Washington Carver, when he was a young man, he had just had such a curious mind. He wanted to understand everything. And he was sort of a self-made scientist. And he developed, of course, hundreds of useful products from the peanut. But when he was a young man, he said, Lord, show me the mystery of the universe. He was a believer. And God spoke to him and he said, no, that knowledge is just reserved for me. So then after a while, he said, Lord, show me the mystery of the peanut. And God said, now, George, now you're speaking about something more on your level. You know, so we want to come with that spirit of humility and pray with wisdom. Now, this is, of course, is something that's very important. And again, I touched on this last week. Pray patiently and persistently. Praying in faith doesn't always mean praying that you believe. Praying in faith means that you believe he's going to answer, so you keep asking. It's like Christ said in that parable in Luke 18. He spoke this parable that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. What does he mean by not lose heart? He means persist in prayer. If you know you're praying for something that is in harmony with God's will, that he's placed on your heart, don't give up so easy. How long did Elijah pray for the rain? How many times? Seven times. Another way you might look at that, though, is Elijah prayed for the rain until it came. He knew that the nation needed rain, and he just kept praying. It so happens it turned out to be seven times. But persist in prayer with the Lord. Unless God has told you, hey, give it up. This is not my will. The Bible tells us that Paul prayed three times for healing, and God said, don't ask about this again. It says, my strength is made perfect in weakness, and it's part of my will. You will be healed when you get your new body. But in the meantime, Paul, because you've experienced my presence and all the glorious things to keep you humble, you've got this affliction. So unless God tells you not to continue asking, continue asking. I want to read on the rest of what he says here in Luke chapter 18. Do not lose heart. In the verse 7 of Luke 18, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, what does he mean by faith? Persistence, a persistent faith. Faith that holds on. The Bible says, who is saved in the last days? He that endures to the end. Continue praying. Keep in mind, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. You whimsically pray something real quick and you want your answer in 5 minutes. And sometimes God does that, right? You pray, boom, it happens. But so often when we pray, prayer is not informing God. You realize we're not praying because God doesn't know what's going on. Does he know everything? We're not praying because God doesn't know what we need. Does he know what we need? So why are we praying? To inform him? Or is prayer doing something to us? The other thing is, prayer is not informing God, it is inviting God into our lives. And so you're persistently praying, you are being transformed as you pray. It's probably a good place for me to stop and just mention something else about prayer, sort of as a side. God commands us to do things that we sometimes are naturally not inclined to do. You know, there's no real command in the Bible, eat. We usually do that just fine. I know it does say eat that which is good, because we eat that which is bad. So God's commands are usually designed to help us with things we normally don't want to do. A lot of commands in the Bible to pray. Why? Prayer is work. Now, I don't say that we're saved by works, but prayer is a kind of work. Sometimes, how many of you have felt too tired to pray? Come on, raise your hand. How many of you felt too busy to pray? Too distracted to pray? Or you thought prayer was boring and you know you need to pray. Doing something you need to do, you may not want to do, feels like work. How many of you were taught by your parents the blessings of work and you got to where you like work? And so sometimes when you're praying, at first it might feel like there's an effort. I don't feel, set your timer like Daniel, morning, evening, and noon. Take time to pray. And you're going to find that as you do it, you're going to be blessed by it. How many of you have worked on a job and when you finished, you felt good? I was up at the property yesterday. There's a tree that fell between the two buildings. It fell because I cut it down. But I needed to go back and finish cutting it up. It was a mess, and so I needed to cut it up. Karen helped me with it a little last week. And I got done cutting up the pieces. All the limbs are gone now. It's all stacked. I got the brush and got the wood, and I got back and I got done. It was hard, you know? And I looked at it, I thought, that feels good. Sometimes it feels good to look back on a project that you worked on and see it completed and something good was done. In your prayers, it may feel like work, but you know, when you learn to pray, you'll get where you enjoy it. I remember a father telling me the best way to teach your kids to work is when you give them something to do, do it with them. And they will grow up enjoying the work because it represented time with you. And they'll learn to love work. Prayer is a discipline that we learn to do, and you get where you love it. But at first, don't get discouraged if it feels difficult. You know, just about everything worthwhile in life requires some effort. The Bible says when it comes to our battle with the devil, we're wrestling. How do you wrestle? It's work. It's hard. You're striving. You're running. You're warring. The Christian life, you're warring against the devil, but how are you doing it? By praying. That means by praying when you don't feel like it. It's a battle sometimes. And so there's effort involved in prayer. Don't be discouraged and you think all these other spiritual people, they act like they enjoy praying all the time. No, they don't. They work at it too. It's natural to know that it requires some effort. So pray persistently. Some of us are like that boy who goes and we ring the doorbell and then run away and laugh. No one ever answers. I remember a story about a woman went to this opera. She was fairly wealthy. And taking off her coat, she had an expensive diamond brooch, and she bumped the brooch, and it fell off, and she didn't realize it until she got home, and the brooch was gone. So she called the manager of the opera house and said, I was sitting in this section, and I've lost this very expensive diamond brooch. Can you please find it for me? And he said, just hold the line. This is before you had cell phones you could carry with you. So he put the receiver down, and he went to search the theater. Well, it took him about 15 minutes. He came back, he found the brooch. And he came back, he picked up the line. He said, madam, and dial tone. Never left a number, left a phone number, didn't know who it was. Just missed out having the answer because she became impatient waiting for the response. So cling to God. Persist. Do it patiently. Pray gratefully. This is point number 8. Having thanks in your prayer is a very important criteria. You know, God is more inclined to give benefits to those who appreciate the former benefits. Don't you like doing things for people that are appreciative? Aren't you sometimes reluctant to do things for people that never seem to appreciate anything you've done? When you express appreciation, you open the way to future benefits. That is a law of life, and yes, it is true of God, and we get it from Him. Everyone likes to be liked. Everyone wants to be, we appreciate being appreciated. And if you tell God, thank you, for one thing he knows, you noticed. He says, I can give you more because you noticed what I did. Now, our problem is not that God doesn't give us enough. We appreciate very little of what he gives us. You don't have to remember all that he does for you, but the Bible says in Psalm 103, do not forget all his benefits. You may not remember them all, but don't forget them all. And so, thank God. Philippians 4:6, you know this verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So whatever your prayer is, you remember we gave you that formula for prayer, ACTS, last week. A-C-T-S. Ask. C. Confess. T. Thanksgiving. S. Supplication. Include the thanksgiving in there. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Be thankful to God. Daniel 6, this always blows me away that Daniel, he's about to be thrown in the lion's den. It says, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed. He knew that as a result of that prayer, he was going to be executed, or at least go to the lion's den. Notice what it says, and gave thanks. The Bible says, be thankful in all things. How can you be thankful for all things? It's like the little 5-year-old boy was at a Christmas dinner with all the family there, and the parents knew he used to pray such beautiful prayers. And they said, Johnny, will you say the blessing for the food? So he folded his hands and he began to pray and he thanked people. He thanked everyone for coming. He thanked God for the beautiful day. And he thanked them. Then he went around the table. Thank you for aunt and uncle and grandma and grandpa, brother, sister, mom and dad. And he, I think he was enjoying the moment. And I said, and thank you for the roast, and thank you for the salad, thank you for the fruit, thank you for the pie, thank you for the Cool Whip. And then there was a long pause, and kind of awkward. And Mother opened eyes, and he was staring at the broccoli. And he finally looked up, he said, Mom, if I thank God for the broccoli, he's going to know I'm lying, won't he? The Bible says, be thankful in all things, right? But you don't have to tell him you're really thankful for the broccoli. But Daniel, thank God, even at a situation like that, that just is amazing to me. So if he could thank God, then can we always find something for which to thank the Lord? How many of you have read that book by Corrie Ten Boom called The Hiding Place? And Corrie's sister was, Corrie says, much more spiritual than she was, and they were in a concentration camp, Ravensbrück concentration camp, and her sister Betsy, I mean, they're suffering miserably, starving, abuse, and Betsy was such a Christian, she said, in all things give thanks. We can even thank and praise God in this. And Corrie said, no, how can you thank God in a situation like this, and we're being eaten by fleas? How can we be thankful for the fleas? And Betsy said, I don't know, but trust God, you can even thank him for the fleas. And Corrie just could not accept that. And then a few days later, they noticed the guards were not coming in to harass them anymore. They weren't coming to the barracks. And word finally came back. They said, why aren't the guards coming in? They said, because there's so many fleas in the barracks, they don't want the fleas. And Corrie said, thank God for the fleas. So in all things, we can find something for which to thank the Lord. Amen? Amen? I'm almost done. Number 9, pray collectively. Matthew 18, Jesus said in verse 19, again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That promise is given in the context of prayer. Now, the Bible tells us the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman will accomplish a lot. One person can do a lot in prayer. Don't ever underestimate that. But then you might ask, well, is it true theologically that there is increased value in the prayer of many? Yes, absolutely. So if you got one righteous man or woman, and their prayer is powerful, what if you get the two of them together? That's why God often says, if my people that are called by my name, it's collective. In the Lord's Prayer, you notice it's collective? Forgive us, lead us, deliver us, feed us. And it's assumed that when we come together with God as a people in our church, our collective prayers, powerful. And we need to pray. Let me give you one more. Acts 4:31. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They prayed together. And then I've saved for the end. I told you I was going to save the top 10. This is the most important. It's going to seem maybe a little anticlimactic. Most important part to answered prayer is to pray. You can go to a seminar in prayer, and if you don't ever do it, this whole seminar is a waste. The most important thing is to actually start doing it. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, who call upon him in truth. One of the most important elements to answered prayer is that we actually get around to it. Have you ever seen one of those little wooden discs? They call it a round to it. It's a joke. People used to give them out and say, yeah, I'll get around to it. One of these days, and sometimes we're forever learning and never practicing what we learn. So I'm hoping that as a result of our time we're spending talking about prayer these next few weeks, there will be a notable, significant change in our lives. And if that happens, there will be a change in our church. Because the spirituality of the church, the pastor, the people, is not going to rise any higher than our prayers. But if my people humble themselves and pray, God says, then I will hear. I will forgive their sin and I will hear their land. Are you taking regular time to pray? Spending time with God, asking for Him to lead you, to guide you, praying for the priorities. He wants to answer our prayers. Don't forget this. God is more willing to answer our prayers than we are to pray. He wants us to pray. It makes Him happy when we pray. God is not distant. He's not wanting to ignore us. He wants to answer our prayers.